Praise God. Good to have the rain again. Yes, Lord willing, we're going to watch a video, and it was from, we kind of pieced together some video clips, pictures, a couple of testimonies, and to JP and I's trip to New Jersey. First of all, say the Lord blessed it. We'll let the video speak for itself. It's about 35 minutes long. But I think it can give you some taste as to what we saw, what we experienced. And so anyway, I wanted to share some things first before we get started this morning. And, you know, sometimes it's just good for us to speak from our heart. We are the body of Christ. And when did the Lord promise that his light would grow brighter as the day increased? The path of the just is a shining light that shines more and more the perfect day. And he also promised that we would grow up in him. And so growth is something the Lord wants to produce in us. He wants us to grow up and our roots down in Christ, and he wants us to grow up. And but part of that is our commitment to the Lord, seeking the Lord. And the one of the things that I have noticed, particularly the past few years, is a real need to seek God like we've never sought him before. We need the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit to lead us. And that's part of Christianity. If he told us that we couldn't do anything without him, we can't do anything without him. Did he say we should ask for the Holy Spirit? Yeah. And the reason why is we need it. We need to be empowered by his Spirit to do what we cannot do otherwise. We need him. And part of growing in Christ and being able to share things with others is a result of us personally walking with him, seeking him, and hearing from him so that we have something to give others. Remember the guy that went to his friend at midnight and he asked him for 3 loaves? He says, a friend of mine has come to me on a long journey. I don't have anything to put before him. And, you know, and Jesus said, suppose the one inside, so I'm in the bed, the kids are in the bed, and the door's locked. But he says, though he will not get up and give you the bread because of the friendship, he will give you what you're asking for because of your shameless audacity. The fact that you would go to someone, in our case, the Lord, and he said he went to him at midnight. I'd say one thing, the world's getting darker. But Jesus Christ is on the throne. There is nothing that can happen in this earth that God does not allow. Ever how Satan attacks, he's been allowed to do it, even with us. The trials and the things that we face, the situations and circumstances the Lord bring upon us to cause us to grow, they're designed by God. If you remember John the Baptist, he said, I must decrease that he may increase. And he was John the Baptist, and he paved the way. But is it not so for each one of us that we must decrease so that he can increase? The flesh has to be slain, and it's not a one-time thing. Jesus told us to pick up our cross daily and follow him. He said we couldn't be his disciple if that's not our attitude. But it's not all about death and suffering and pain. What's so wonderful about laying our life down and picking up that cross, and we surrender to God, his life comes forth. And we actually discover what life is all about. And without that laying down of our life, what do we get? Well, all we got is us, our mind, our thoughts. The word says that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. As far as the heavens are from the earth, so are his ways from our ways and his thoughts from our thoughts. When we come in here any Sunday or any time or we do anything for him, we don't need our ideas. That's like saying his ideas are not our ideas. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we so easily, I say even at times when we have a measure of life and we have unity in our church and God's blessing us, one of the easiest things to do for any of us is to become complacent and stop seeking God. Jesus Christ was never complacent. It talks about him having strong cries. What all did Jesus go through when he was here? We don't know. It wasn't just when he went to the cross. He suffered in a way that he was tempted like each one of us so he could help us when we're being tempted. Is he our high priest? Is he our elder brother? Is he the head of the church? Does he want to lead the church? Yes, and I believe that. And I think that's one thing that I'll have to confess, even growing up in church and this church. You know, it's not so much about which church you grow up in, because any church that has any measure of light and unity, the Lord's blessed it with his presence. It's just a natural tendency to say, hey, I got it, or all my theology is right, and the Lord has saved me, and so I have the reality of salvation, and so I'm good to go. That's not in the Bible. It is not in the Bible. We are to be changed into Christ's image. And that goes for us individually and collectively. And the thought I've had this week, I've had it on my heart a lot. I'm just going to speak to it. I'm not going to look it up. But you remember in the wilderness, you remember the Lord, he sent Moses back to deliver the Israelites. He did. There was a lot of unbelief in that crowd. And but, you know, he had them build a tabernacle. And he had it a specific, he had a pattern that he gave to Moses. He said, see that you build it according to the pattern. And Moses, he absolutely followed that. And everything they did when it came to the construction of the tabernacle, not the temple, well, the temple likewise, but the tabernacle with all its poles, spikes, fabric, the tent, the holy place, the utensils, every single thing was fabricated according to God's design. They fabricated it. They set it up. They set that tabernacle up. It had certain dimensions. And when they dedicated it, what happened? The Spirit of God came down. A cloud came down. And in fact, it was so thick they couldn't go in and out of there. Well, or Moses didn't. So, but that cloud that he put, it was going to be a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I think that's the way the King James says it. It looked like a cloud during the day, and at night it was like there was fire inside of that thing. Do you believe we need the fire of the Holy Spirit? It needs to burn in us to the point to where our cup runs over and it gushes out to somebody else. Otherwise, we've just been saved from hell and we're going to go to sleep until we get to the glory land. That's not what God's called us to. And I hope this don't come across as a condemnation, because this is, I picture this. I got a mirror in front of my face and I'm talking to myself. You ever talk to yourself? I tell you, we need to talk to God too. This is not negative. I don't see this. I want you to understand, I do not see this as negative, and I don't see this as negative for us. Because, you know, the Lord has promised to lead us, right? He's also promised, you know, the path, if the path is going to grow brighter, we should see greater glory. We should see Jesus clearer in our walk with him. Do you agree with that? And so, back to the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It was a symbol, and it was his presence that descended down. Okay, it descended down, and it wasn't just for protection and for his presence to be there. It was also a guiding mechanism. Because when it lifted up and went that way, what did they do? They were commanded to follow that. And wherever it went, they moved until that cloud stopped, right? When the cloud descended, they set up camp. And they put that tabernacle back together exactly the way it was supposed to be. And sometimes that cloud only stayed there for one day. It's like, wow. If you read all the stuff, that's why they had a whole tribe to take that thing apart and put it back together. There was a lot to do on a practical level. But sometimes it's one day. There goes the cloud. Pack it up, boys. And they went out in a certain order, got everything ordered. But the thing of it is, God led them through the wilderness. And despite their rebellion and their unbelief, God still left us an example of his great faithfulness. He did. But the key thing was, if they didn't see that cloud get up and move, what do? They would stay there. They would die. You know, there's a phrase that's in the Proverbs, and it's used a lot, and it's appropriate. But when you read it, it's really maybe talking about something else that we think it, other than what it means. But it's the proverb that says, without a vision, the people perish. Y'all know that one? Do we need a vision for the future? Does it need to be so ingrained in us and filling our cup to where it spills out and causes us to move according to faith and also to reach out to others? Do y'all believe that? And when I've seen it lacking in my life, I've had to cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm drab. I'm just... something's dry. I tell you what, but the water that he gives, it is rich. It is living water. And you remember what he told the lady at the well? He told her, Well, first of all, she comes there to get that water, and he asked her for a drink. I mean, there's nobody like Jesus. He was yielded to the Father. And he said, what I'm doing is not me doing it, it's the Father in me doing it. So everything he did was absolutely perfect. But he's interested in this woman, and he says, could you give me a drink? And she said, well, you're a Jew. You don't even have anything to do with me. And he said, well, if you know who it was, if you know about the gift of God and who it is that's asking you this, you would ask me to give you living water. And if you drink that water, you will never thirst again. Right? That conversation, hey, if nobody's read it, go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and read it. You can read it yourself. I'm not going to open up and read it. But one thing that's always stood out to me, by the time Jesus had told her who he was, he said, I am he. I am the Messiah. Okay, it kind of freaked her out a little bit. But I tell you what, she knew who he was. And the statement is so telling. She left her water jar and went back into town. The only reason she'd gone to that well to take that vessel, fill it up with water, and go back home. But the very reason that she went to the well, she didn't even do it. She didn't pour it. She got so excited, she took off back to the town and left her big water jug there. You ever lost your keys or your phone? I know everybody has. But she left a big water jug. The thing of it was, God had ministered to her heart. And she already had a joy in her that caused her to move. Does that make sense? But it's a good thing, right? I did write a couple of verses down. This is from Psalm 16:11. Here you go. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Another way to say it, I used to hear it, in the Lord's presence there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures evermore. But do you know one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy? If you ever look at yourself, and you be honest, you look up the fruit of the Spirit and the characteristics, do you ever look to there and say, you get to the joy section and you say, I don't have that many joy sparks. I mean, how many times is my cup overflowing with total joy? It's a good question, right? We examine ourselves in the light of God's word, but the one thing about it, when we're in communion with God and he speaks to us, I don't think there's anything greater to me than for that relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a living relationship. When we go to God in prayer, it does result. Your prayers not. I know their prayers are not always the same. Mine's not always the same. But there's times where I would be in prayer and the Lord would speak to me through his word, and I know it's him. And it's like, Lord, you still descend to men of low estate. Right? Do you ever feel like that? I do. But I can see that with God's character and his love and his mercy, he so much loves us that he said, everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And there's such a need for that relationship with the Lord to grow that we must be committed on that. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because I don't measure up to that. But when I say we must be committed, when we see what the Lord wants to do for us and the joy, we'll leave our water pot and we'll say, Lord, I'm in. I'm all in because I see that you love me. He gives a peace that this world can't give. He gives a purpose that this world is going to go up in smoke. The heavens and earth are going to pass away, but his word will never pass away. What we have when we suck in our last breath is what we have that's related to the kingdom of God. And you know what? He hasn't called us all to do the same thing. But has he called all of us to bear fruit? Every one of us. A child who knows the Lord can just be saying, Father, help me. And the Lord give that child something to say to someone that's 90 years old, and it changed their life. I believe that. Do you? Because it comes from God. So it's not about how much fruit we bear, how many numbers we have, but it's about that relationship with the Lord that keeps on growing. He talks about, I talked to JP about a verse where it talks about if we possess these qualities in ever-increasing measure, it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. But it's an increasing measure. Another verse I wrote down, everybody knows this one, this is in the Beatitudes, it's Matthew 5, just verse 6, I'll just read it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Okay, here's the Amplified version. Blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. That's a good way to put it. God is real. He wants to fill our vessels so that we have something to give others. If that well of water becomes a well springing up, it's like an artesian well that comes out. You know, it is like the guy that went to his friend at midnight and asked for the bread. We need something to give others. And our ideas and our thought process and even all our theology is not enough. We need the Spirit of the living Christ coming out of us now. This is something else I've been thinking about. I thought about how, this is just an honest assessment of my own life and me sharing with you guys. I don't know if anybody else can say this is the same with them, but I'm being very honest. I remember one year I was praying for a convention. You know, we have our June convention. We used to have it like twice a year. And I was praying for the convention. You know, hey, we're all going to get together. And you know, you want to pray about these things. We should be praying for all our services and say, Lord, help us. Show us the way. And so I was, but I was praying. This probably meeting was a month out. And I noticed that I was praying about the meeting in a certain way. And I almost got convicted. Do I know what's going to go on in the meeting? Do I know enough to say, okay, I'm praying for this or that or the other? I was praying specifically, but I wouldn't say it was quite inspired. And I was convicted that I need to, in all times when I'm talking to the Lord, I don't need to pray just in my own mind. But Lord, what would you have us do this convention or this meeting? You know, we all get together as four churches. And I tell you what, I started praying. And when I would go out, I would say, Lord, I'm going to start my prayer as I pray for the meeting, Lord. I praise you. Lord, I don't know how to pray. So I'm going to pray for this meeting like I never have in this regard. I don't know how to pray. So I want to pray that you would have your way and not me just thinking in my own mind what it's supposed to be. Does that make sense to anybody? All churches have tradition, and we have tradition. I'm prone to tradition or think, okay, this is going this way a certain way or that way. Therefore, that's the way it'll remain. Is that always the case? Mm-mm. No. There are seasons. Just like the Lord, there's many times he did things so different from one to the other, one spot to the other. That cloud, when it moves, we need to move with it. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I'd say this, yielded to it in our life in a way where when the Lord speaks to us, even if something completely different, that we can hear his voice, move out in faith, and go in that direction. Do y'all agree? And so the past, even in that particular service, that particular meeting, do y'all remember the meeting we had for the last service? There was a great liberty and freedom. Y'all remember that? There was prayer going up. It was not planned. It was spontaneous. And what happened in the service was something we'd never experienced. Does that mean that that's what's going to happen every time? Absolutely not. Because as soon as you build four walls around that, you're going to either for experience, a feeling, or emotion. That's not faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so, but that, on the heels of that prayer, I saw that happen. I believe God answered prayer. And he also showed it in a way to where, look, if a man thinks he knows something, he doesn't know anything as he yet ought to know it. Does the word say that? I'm talking about me now, just being honest. Much of my relearning has had to be this. I've had to turn my back and my mind on what I thought I knew from a tradition standpoint, even though it's got scriptures wrapped all around it, and say, Lord, really, what do you want? And what do you want from me? What is it fresh that the Lord would do? We don't need to come up with a plan, because if we do that, this is just man doing it. There's a lot of churches and organizations that come up with plans, and they may even be based in scripture, and a guy gets up, he reads a bunch of scripture and says, that's what we're going to do. Back to the without a vision, the people perish. If you read it, that's in Proverbs. Really what it's talking about is back, like in the days of the prophets and such, they would have visions. You think about Ezekiel, there are a lot of men that actually had vision. You can look it up and read it. Read what it means. Read the verse behind it, in front of it. But they would have, God would give them a vision. It was related to a move of God or what God was going to do, right? And so if they didn't have that, they really just didn't have a supernatural direction is what God had for them. And if they didn't have that, they would perish. Well, even though it's not like a goal or a business goal isn't a vision, it's God's supernatural direction to lead us in a way he would take us. Otherwise, we're going to spin our wheels and get stuck in the sand. Y'all agree with that? The gospel is a gospel that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. It is shocking to me that God said, I want you to love me. Did he say that?
Yes.
Is that the greatest commandment?
Yes.
If we are locked in with God and saying, Lord, I mean, I am not religious enough to get to heaven. I have fallen down far too many times, even after coming to faith. I will not be able to point to myself and say, man, I did a good job. No. I failed one time after the next, but each time I got up and went to the throne of grace, he met me there. He still meets me there. I'm a regular person. I'm not really a preacher. I'm just somebody that wants to please God. And when Paul told Timothy, he said, you fan into flames the gift that's in you. If we have Christ in us, we have the life of the risen God. How important is it for us to ask for the Holy Spirit? When he sent his spirit back, it wasn't a joke, it wasn't some fantasy. He said, it's good that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send him back to you. Him, yes, the Holy Spirit. We are just as dependent on the Holy Spirit leading us as the disciples were on Jesus leading them, because he sent his spirit back to us. But if we have a relationship with him, is he in our heart? Do we have faith? Okay, so who's in here? It's Jesus. How big is Jesus? Is he a small Jesus? He's not as short as I am. Spiritually or physically, I don't think. But you know what? Zach, he has climbed a tree, and Jesus went and ate with him. He said, come on down. We're having dinner. It ain't the size. It ain't nothing but the heart. We need to see God with our heart. And when I say we need, I believe we are. I hope I don't sound negative. But when the Lord saves us and he loves us so much, he wants us to stay in such close contact with him that we can be led by him, hear him, and even as a body of people, move when he says move. Now, I'm not saying this because of the video. I think in some ways it's related. I wanted to share this whether we had a video or not, okay? Because do we not need a vision? Do we need, I want to say something too. There's two ladies here in this church that talked about a food ministry, and God put it on their heart. I'm going to tell you something. When God puts something on your heart, he's not playing mind games. He put it there for a reason. Whether it was a seed until it grows till later, I don't know. But God, he doesn't do that, and there not be a purpose and a fulfillment in that. And so those two ladies that mentioned that, I want to encourage you, don't doubt. God's got something. Let's keep seeking the Lord with these ladies. It might involve us too, okay? You know, there's a real practicality to reaching out to people near you to share Jesus with them right where you're at. It's not all about what does the ministry do, this or that and the other. There's a place for that. But the biggest place that we need for Jesus is in our heart. We need him to come out and flow out and be a minister to others. Do you believe that we can ask for more of the Holy Spirit and God answer that prayer? Do you think there'll be results? He promised that we would bear much fruit and that our fruit would remain. You know, the Lord added to the church daily as we'd be saved. And I don't know exactly what the Lord has for us, but I know one thing. He wants to produce life in this church, maybe more than it has been. Would y'all agree with that? Now, there's people here that are probably maybe walking so close to God, they're saying, everyone needs to come out from behind that pulpit and go follow me around, and I'll show them what it's about. And I'll say, I'll follow you. I'll go right on down there. I don't know everything, but I have seen and tasted and experienced enough to know that Jesus loves us. God, our Father, loves us, and he wants to direct us. You remember in the early church? They got ready to go somewhere, and God said, whoop, nope, you're going over here. Are we sensitive enough to say, not maybe we need to go over here? Is he the same Christ? Has he changed? No. But he wants to change us. We must decrease that he increase. And my heart's prayer and the burning prayer that I have had is, God, don't let me suck in my last breath. I've asked the Lord this now. I'm telling you, I just confess. I'll be walking around in the prayer telling and say, Lord, don't let me die without my life and you using me to bring glory to yourself. I've got another reason to live. Do you? There's no other reason to live. And there are practical things that we need to do, and we need to realize that we need to ask prayer for the help that we do from him in our just our daily activities, our responsibilities, our job, women raising children. All those things are so important. And I hope I don't relay this in a way that, okay, we need to jump on this train over here. No, we just need to keep looking to God. And I believe that the Lord has promised for us to grow and to bear fruit. And at times, I have felt myself, and while I mentioned that, even just thinking about meetings and this and that and the other, I started realizing the Lord don't want me living in the past or in any tradition. He wants me to be living by faith and asking for my daily bread. He wants me to come to the throne of grace. I mean, otherwise, how do we know? If we don't spend time with him, how do we know him? And how can we hear him? And how can we love him? One verse I had here. This is 1 Peter 1:8. You can look it up later. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Is there joy again? Getting to know Christ, I've got so much room for growth. But I see God moving. I believe he is moving. What do you think he's going to do in the last hour among churches? Does the Lord not want us to be open to others? They may not have all the same doctrine and all, but I tell you what, you remember the disciples, they said, we saw somebody doing this that way, and we told them to stop. And he said, don't do that. He said, if they're not against us, they're for us. Remember that? He also, was Paul said one time, that they were telling him, these guys are preaching the gospel for earthly gain. Earthly gain. He said, what does that matter to me? The gospel's being preached. I don't care how it comes out, let it go out. That's what he said. That means we throw our discernment out the window. That's not what it's about. It's not joining every little this and that. It's about walking with the Lord, hearing his voice, and how does that relate to each other here and people out there? Does that make sense? Y'all ready for me to stop now? I'm ready to stop. We got a video. I think the Lord blessed it. He blessed our time together. And after we watch it, you know what? I want everybody here, we get to watching the video. If you got something to share in regard to this, or even us as a church, feel free to come up here. Are we a family? Amen. Okay. And so sometimes the Lord might make a spark over here. What's that song we used to sing? It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And there's a time where a spark hits. I tell you another symbol of, there's two symbols for the Holy Spirit, the wind and fire, right? The wind, remember when the at Pentecost, the little tongues of fire came down. They come down like fire, and also the wind, a rushing mighty wind came in there, right? And remember what he told Nicodemus, you can see the effect of the wind, but you can't tell where it came from or where it's going. So is he that's led by the Spirit. Is that for us? If I'm born of God and I'm sealed by his Spirit, I need to be led by his Spirit. That doesn't mean he's going to do something different every day, right? But he still wants to lead us, and he wants us to be conscious of the fact, and I don't think anybody here thinks we know it all. I don't believe that. If you do think that, you're wrong. Just like I'll be wrong if I think it, okay? I don't think anybody thinks that. We know that we're works in progress, but is God faithful? Yes, he is. And I believe part of the reason we were on this trip is God answered prayer. There was prayer going up before it. And I cannot tell you how many open doors happened before we got there, and I can't tell you how many doors opened when we were there. A video is just a snapshot in time, pretty much. I hope you can come across in a way that you can see it in a way that it would touch your heart. I had so many, JP and I had so many people come to us, not just there at Mission Teens, there was a couple of churches that we worked with. They came up to me and said, we're praying for y'all down there in North Carolina. I don't think they said y'all, because people in New Jersey don't usually say y'all. We're praying for you guys down there in New Jersey. And they meant it. And I thought, these people have been praying. The people there at Mission Teams will come up, even the people that are there that are residents, they're still got their own struggles. They're going through hard times, some of them. Let's remember them in prayer. We all go through hard times sometimes. But they would come up, some of those residents, we knew y'all were coming, we were praying for y'all. That's humbling. It's humbling in a good way. I had two guys. Does anybody ever heard of the name Hector? I met two Hectors in one place. And they were both the same authenticity, and I thought it was the same Hector. But I was informed that it was two different Hectors. And they were the same age group. They had the same accent. And they both told me they were praying for us in North Carolina. That was unusual. You know, I think the Lord does, he does want to stir us, and he wants us to remember that we've called to something that's alive. Jesus Christ, when he was raised from the dead, came forth with the power of God. And when he sent that Holy Spirit back to us, we should see in some measure that coming out in us and through us, right? I'm not saying anything we probably haven't said 18,500 times. But today's a new day, and he's listening for our cries and our prayers. And something that Eric Payne said, we were eating with him over at Joel and Mary's. He said, let me ask you something. If you were God, that's a good question. It wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be a good God. He said, you think about it. If you're looking down and one of the your most tiny sheep is bowed down in prayer and saying, Father, help me. He said, what would you give that sheep? I said, I'd give him what he asked for. He said, that's my point. Let's look to our Father. Let's share our heart with our Father. He wants us to. This is about love and the love of God. To me it is. This is about the love of God and seeing how much he loves me. Seeing how much he loves you. Love's been going for eternity. And when we understand it clear, I think, what he does, he enables us to share it with others. I like it when my cup overflows. You know, I don't get all emotional, but sometimes I do. There was a couple times up there, I was crying like a dang baby. I was like, I'm going to run to the bathroom. What am I, a woman? No. I'm not a woman. There is no guess at work about that. If I am, I'm the ugliest one you've ever seen. But you know, one thing about women is, you know, the King James says weaker vessel. Women are more emotional, and at times they're more sensitive, and that's why he gave them that. You know what? You better have some sensitivity if you're raising a child and some compassion. And you look at the characteristics that are in women. I appreciate that, don't y'all? We should give these women a big hand in this church. Yeah. We all have our place, you know, but emotional or not, God's real. We have different personalities, but he wants to be real to all of us, right? I think I've probably said enough, so I'm going to walk back there. I think they're going to play the video. Philip, you can just monitor the volume. I don't know. I think it's pretty consistent throughout, but just check the volume up and down. Oh, one other thing. We do have a piece of music that's going to be played that we recorded. Now, it ain't real slow. It might be a little bit like rock and roll. So if you feel your wineskin bursting, hold your guts in. Don't let them fall out. You know, one of the things I've heard Phil and others talk about when they were on missions, they have people up there dancing. You ever seen a child dance because it's so full of joy? Nobody tells them to do it. He just does it. Then we get old and we don't dance. Or some people don't dance. I'm not a good dancer. But if somebody's moving around because they're so overjoyed, let them move. Let them shout. We got something to shout about. You remember it talks about a shout of a king, right? A shout of a king. If you're in an army and your king is Jesus Christ, have you got something to shout about? I think so. Okay, I'm going to mosey back there. And listen, when this is done, I want anybody who feels free or feel like they should or something is quickened to them by the Lord about this or anything else, get up. Sometimes it's good to share with each other. We are a family. We are the people of God, and we're the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. That's all I got.
This is a little smaller than I thought it'd be. None of y'all know me. I'm a visitor. My name is Joseph Kirkham, and I'm a friend of JP and Lauren. And I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm a pretty dedicated follower of that church, and I go to college at Sand Hills Community College, and JP invited me to come to church. And that was probably one of the first times I ever felt like I was truly invited out of pure love by someone else of a different faith. And I served as a missionary for my church for 2 years out of high school. And that's what I did. I preached about Jesus Christ and about his goodness in the gospel. And in coming here today, I just want to testify a lot of what has been said by the pastor, Steve. And I was thinking about how there's many different churches, many different faiths. But one thing I do know is Satan would have us believe that we are different, when really there's so much more in common with every one of us. If we follow the two great commandments, love God and love your neighbor, there's nothing more unifying than that. And I testify that the love of God is real. I testify that he can bring people out of the darkest pits and the greatest misery. That he could give hope to the hopeless. And I testify that he lives. That Heavenly Father sent his Son to die for us and to redeem us of our sins. I also testify that this life can be hard. It can be very gray. There's a lot of fog. There's a lot of confusion. The lady, sorry, I don't know your name. She just came up and she's talking about how it's hard being a young adult or just young in these ages because there's so much darkness. But even when there's fog and our vision might be impaired and we may not see things clearly, what I do testify is that doesn't change how real the light is. I testify that the light is true, that it's real. And just because our perspective of it may not be perfect, that doesn't mean it isn't perfect. I testify that our Savior, who came in an earthly body and died for us and became resurrected, that he will also come again. I testify he will come with love, and he has already come, really. He hasn't come, I guess, but we might as well believe that it already happened, like how Isaiah talks in the Bible. I love my Savior, and I appreciate the love and the light that I've seen coming here today. And I say these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Man, I appreciate what's been shared here this morning.
Oh, praise God. Did y'all see how the Lord changes lives? There's nothing else like it on the face of the planet. And we're all here because that happened. Because God rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He rescued us, man. He gave his only Son, that blood that was shed. I'll tell you what, man. It is able to save from the uttermost to the highmost. It covers everything. Man, I don't even know what to... Praise God. I just thank God that, you know, I tried to get out of going on this trip. I had been to New Jersey one time. I was like, I don't think I want to go back there. And, but I'll tell you what, while I was there and experiencing the love of God that way, if someone came up and said, I'll give you $1 million right now to leave, I'd have said, you can take your money somewhere else. It was that real what God was doing. And what he wants to do here for us too. I believe the Lord has helped us over the years, but I believe God's got something better for us. Something brighter. We don't just stay where we're at, man. We keep moving forward in Jesus Christ. If we're not moving forward, we're moving back. God help us to see the vision of what he wants us to do. Because I tell you what, I don't want to just exist or just, I want to thrive in Jesus Christ. And I want this community around us to thrive in Jesus Christ. There's people here God wants to rescue. And God needs to give us the plan for that. God needs to give us the plan for that. I tell you what, I appreciate what Pastor Jose said there. It's not about a numerical thing bringing people into this building. But it is taking the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ out to a dying world. Because, man, you hear the testimonies there, man. What is so awesome is no matter what it was, Nicole, she spoke to it. She was thankful for the things God had taken her through. that she allowed, that the Lord allowed her to get where she was at. Now, would we look at that and say, well, that's God's best? Well, you know what? For her, it was, because it brought her to salvation, a lasting salvation, an eternal salvation. So my prayer is that the Lord would just move on our hearts and show us what to do. We need the Lord. We need Him to guide us and lead us. I don't know what everybody's heart is here. Maybe we're just right where we need to be. But my own personal testimony, my life began to change even more. I guess it's been 6-7 years since me and Lauren been helping out there at the college with the young people out there. It's scary, but at the same time, man, when we step out by faith, when God puts something before us to do, He supplies everything. Amen. We're not going to do it right in ourselves, but praise God, there's grace, right? If there was no grace, what chance will we have? Praise God for amazing grace. Amen. I mean, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I tell you what, if you've never seen yourself as a wretch, ask the Lord. Ask Him to shine His light, because when His light comes, it's not to condemn us, it's not to belittle us, it's to show us the condition and how we have to be rescued, changed forever. He wants to take us and create in us a new life. He makes us a new creature, a new creation. I think Taylor said that, man. I mean, that's what really happens. That's the, man, Lord, open up our eyes to that. But I tell you this, things started changing for me and my wife when the Lord opened that door, and I was paralyzed by fear. I wasn't empowered by hope. I said, well, who am I to go out there and tell anybody about Jesus? Well, you know, we get all kinds of thoughts of what we're supposed to be doing and this, that, and the other. What we need to do is trust God and do what He says and go out there and say, you know what? I'm going to love these people. I'm just going to give them opportunity. We opened up the Bible and started reading together. Guess what? People are being helped. Praise God. It's not rocket science. I'm a simple person. But praise God, the Lord has opened up my eyes and our eyes to the truth that is in Jesus Christ. So I just ask the Lord to help us today if we hear His voice. I tell you what, we read Esther last year in the coach's Bible study. It says, has not the Lord brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this? I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to look like. My heart is that it looks like that, because once you experience, you know, I went talking to Taylor. It's lots of tears, but the joy of seeing life changed, it changes you forever. So, and I know we see it here in a measure, but I believe God's got a greater measure for us to experience it. And, that's all I'm going to say. Praise God. I did love that picture there. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. I'm going to read one more scripture. We were there. Hold on. You know what? Oh, man, I left my phone down there. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's in Exodus. We were there the first morning, and this young lady, Ashley, was giving her testimony. She was giving her testimony. She was reading through just Exodus. It was her day to give the devotion. It's so great how things work there. Everybody gets an opportunity to exercise themselves and grow. But this stuck out to me from the first day we got there. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is in Exodus 14. This is when they've come up to the Red Sea. It says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to get up and get moving. And that just stuck out to me, man. I was thinking about Dina and Amanda there with the food ministry. I'm praying the Lord will give y'all faith to step outside of this building. Men, whoever need to go with them, that's been put on your heart, go with them. Ask the Lord where to go. Knock on doors. Guess what? You knock, the door shall be open. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. I didn't write those words. Jesus Christ wrote them in red. Is He true to His word? Have we seen Him move? Does He want to move more? I believe so. I want to have a thriving relationship with God Almighty. Right where, let me see here if I can find this. Y'all be patient with me here. You know what? I'm going to save that one. But it's talking about how we have a, how we need a rich relationship with God Almighty, and I need that. And I'm thankful for the measure I have walked in that, but a greater measure that's still ahead. So if there's anybody else that would have something to share about this, a witness, I don't know. We're an active body, and I know it's whatever. I'm not worried about time today. We can't ever get this time back that we have right now. Praise God.